Open your Bibles now to Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to be starting a new series, beginning with Genesis chapter 12. I last year preached a series through the first 11 chapters of Genesis. So we're picking up with the life of Abraham in chapter 12. This is the last week that I'll be preaching in the morning, so Dean will be preaching next week in the morning, and I'll be back to the evening. So just giving you a heads up there. I want to give you a little bit of context before I read. The first 11 chapters of Genesis cover thousands of years, touching on really five major topics or major events. So he covers thousands of years very quickly, but here he slows way down and he takes the rest of this book, 39 chapters, to focus on Abraham, his son, his grandson, and his great-grandson. And you might ask, why is that? Why does he rush through the first 11 chapters and then focus on the person of Abraham? Well, Abraham proves to be an important character throughout the Bible. The Apostle Paul calls Abraham the father of the faith, and that through faith in Jesus Christ, we actually become children of Abraham. We are Abraham's spiritual descendants through faith, because he's the father of the faith. So to better understand what it means to live by faith in this world through this journey, we need to understand the life of Abraham, the father of the faith. So I'll read Genesis. And actually, I'm going to start in chapter 11. I'll start with verse 27, and I'll read through verse 9 of chapter 12. So Genesis 11, starting verse 27. Remember, this is God's holy word, which is able to make us wise to salvation in Jesus Christ. So let's listen. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran fathered Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his kindred, in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren. She had no child. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And from there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. And that's where we'll end the reading of God's holy word. Life on earth is a long period of transition. There's always something changing, and it keeps us from feeling too comfortable, too secure, too familiar for too long. You learn that lesson on the day that you were born. You're comfortable and safe in your mother's womb. Everything was done for you. You had the life, but then out of nowhere, your comfortable home rejects you and expels you, and it's traumatic, and you have to learn to adjust, and there are many tears that are shed. You adapt, though. You get used to living outside the womb with your mom and dad. One day, though, they leave home with you, and they take you to a perfect stranger's house, and they leave you there. And you shed lots of tears, and you're not even sure if they're going to come back. But to your relief, they do return, and they pick you up, and they go home. You grow a little older, and you have your first day of school, and again, tears are shed. You have to adjust to this life away from home. Or you have your first sleepover at a friend's house, and everyone falls asleep, but you're still awake, and you're scared, and you can't sleep, and tears are shed. You get older, you leave for a youth camp or a soccer camp or band camp, or you go on a mission trip and you don't know a lot of people who are there, and those nights are hard and you shed some more tears. And then you go off to college, and there at college you get homesick and you're surrounded by strangers. It doesn't feel like you belong. You're uncomfortable. You don't know how to act. And you miss your comfortable bed and home-cooked meals, and you miss your mom's voice and lots of other sights and sounds that automatically somehow bring you comfort and belonging and a sense of security. And many of you freshmen know what I'm talking about, and many more tears maybe are shed. Life is in a constant transition. You have kids only to see them transition through life and then leave the house. You work, but you are constantly adjusting to more coworkers or new jobs or a new position or a new boss. Nothing here on earth continues for too long. You're always in transition. God seems to make it so that your life doesn't get too comfortable or too secure for too long, so that you don't feel like you belong too much. But why is it that whenever you seem to get to that spot, when you feel comfortable and feel like you belong, something changes, and all of a sudden your life is thrown out of whack again, and you feel anxious and insecure and uncomfortable again? This is exactly what happened to Abram. Abram, who later becomes Abraham, and I'm sure I'll call him both names. He lived... excuse me. He lived in the comfortable city of Ur. He's married, he has his family all around him, he has the sense of belonging, it's comfortable, he knows what he's doing, his days are familiar. This is probably the only place he's ever known, born and raised there. But yet one day God appears to him and he says, I want you to leave your country, leave your home, leave your family, leave your comforts, leave your life, leave everything that you've ever known, and I want you to go to a place that I'll show you. Why? Why did God call Abram to pick up and leave, to pull up his roots and leave and go somewhere else? Why couldn't he have called him but just had him stay there in Ur and be a witness to the people there in Ur? Why would God do this to you when you enjoy stability and comfort and belonging, and yet he uproots you and then places you in an uncomfortable place? Why does he call you to do things that are uncomfortable and unfamiliar? Well, he keeps your life from being too comfortable and too secure for too long, so that you learn to anchor your life and find your security and comfort and belonging not in your earthly circumstances or your possessions or your situation in life, but that you would anchor your life in God and in God alone. Through the instability of your life, he's calling you to live a life of faith, to be anchored to him by faith. You may be going through a period of transition in your life where God's called you to a new place. You feel homesick. Or there's been a big change in your life and in your circumstances, and you long for the days that are no more. God has called you on this journey so that you learn to have your life anchored not in your circumstances, but you have your life anchored in him. God has called you to a journey of faith through which he pours out a life of blessing. put your faith in Him. And kids, if you want to draw a picture, you can draw a picture of a man on a long journey out in the desert. He doesn't quite know where he's going, but he's walking confidently because he's secure in God. He knows God is with him. God has called you to a journey of faith through which He pours out a life of blessing. So put your faith in Him. As we look at the story of Abraham, we're going to look at this story in three parts: the call of God, the journey of faith, and the life of blessing. The call of God, the journey of faith, and the life of blessing. And you have an outline there in the bulletin if you want to follow along there. First is the call of God. Our story begins with Abram living in the city of Ur with his extended family. Ur is in the area of the world that would later become known as Babylon, and it's in the eastern part of what we know of today as Iraq. In the 1920s and 30s, archaeologists uncovered this big city, and one archaeologist described it as the London or Paris of Abram's day. And so it was a city of wealth and prosperity and commerce and culture. It was a great place to be, a great place to live. It was also a city, though, that was saturated with pagan worship. There were temples and altars scattered across the city, offered to pagans for the worship of these various deities. By the time that God called Abram, no doubt he was settled in this city. He had established a life there. And we find out that Abram is really a good businessman. He is successful in business, so it's probably safe to assume that he's established himself as a businessman there in Ur, and he's acquired a lot of possessions. He enjoys a comfortable life. Well, one day, as Abram was going about his daily activities, God appeared to him. He didn't appear to everyone in Ur. He only appeared to Abram, and he said, "I want you to leave this place, leave this community, leave your family, and I want you to go to a place that I'll show you. Leave everything that you have built here. Leave your life of comfort. Leave everything you've known and follow me where I'll show you." God calls Abram to leave the comforts of Ur, the comforts of home, so that he learns to find his security in God by faith. He's teaching him what it means to live by faith. There were probably millions of people in the world at this point. It was a world filled with pagan worshipers, and so you might imagine it similar to the situation of the world before the big flood in Noah's day. The world was corrupt. But instead of sending another flood to wipe out this corrupt generation, God promised, of course, to never do that again. Instead, He set out to change the human race, starting with one man, Abram. His goal from the very beginning was to reach the whole generation, the whole world of people. But you might ask, why Abram? Why did He choose Abram out of all the people there in Ur or in the world? Abram is not described the way Noah is described. Noah is described as a righteous man who walked with God, but Abram is not described that way. It wasn't because he was righteous. He wasn't walking with God. Instead, we're told later in the book of Joshua, where Joshua himself says that Terah and Abram lived in Ur, worshiping other gods. Abram was a full-fledged pagan. He wasn't trying to follow God. He didn't have anything to do with the true God. It wasn't like he was a true follower of God, surrounded by all these pagans, and he's alone and struggling. No, he was one of them, just like them. He was a part of that life, and yet God, out of all the people on the earth, appeared to Abram and spoke to Abram. Well, why Abram? All you can say is that because that's who God wanted to choose. He didn't look better. He wasn't nicer. There wasn't anything more lovable about him. He worshipped idols like the rest, living in sin and selfishness, but yet God chose him. This is how the call of God works. You need to recognize that you didn't choose God to start off your relationship with Him, but in fact, He chose you. He called you to follow Him by faith. God, who has the prerogative to do whatever He wants, He could have chosen anybody throughout this world. He decided to choose you if you have faith in Christ. And those that He chooses to be His, follow Him. God called Abram, and Abram followed God. If you know God, you need to understand that you only know Him because God graciously called you. You know, there are lots of people out in this world that are better than me and better than you that He could have called, that maybe He should have called, but yet He called you and me. And in this way, God gets all the credit and all the glory for our salvation. It wasn't that I was smarter or there was some attractive feature about me that drew God to me or me to God. But in fact, I don't deserve it just as much or more than my neighbor next door. This is why we call it amazing grace. It baffles us. God called you. God called you out of all the nations to be His. And if you don't know God right now, then God is calling out to you right now to follow Him. And the question is, are you listening? So God called Abram, but what exactly did He call Abram to do? Well, He called Abram to a journey of faith. It's a journey where he learns to walk by faith. When God calls you, He calls you to a life of faith, a journey of faith. It's not just a generic faith in anything, but it's a faith in God through Jesus Christ. He's calling you to trust in Him. And we see Abram's faith expressed in two ways. First, his faith is expressed through obedience. God called Abram, and told Abram to go to a land that I will show you. And Abram, what did he do? By faith, he obeyed God. He wasn't sure where he was going. He didn't know how he was going to be provided for. He wasn't sure who was going to be just around the corner to attack him, or to take all his loot, or his family, or take him as a slave. I don't know what the circumstances it will be that I meet, but he knew that since God called him, that God would be with him through this journey, and God would lead him and direct him. It was a journey of faith, trusting God to provide. Well, if God has called you, then He's also called you to a journey of faith. And this journey of faith is going to have a whole bunch of instability in your life. Things are going to change constantly throughout your life, and you're not going to know what the details are about the future, how things are going to work out, but you put your faith in God, who has called you to these circumstances, called you to this place, knowing that He'll be with you, that He'll never leave you or forsake you, that He'll lead you every step of the way. It's a journey of faith. You trust God even when it doesn't make sense. God called Abram out of Ur to go to a land that I will show you, and Abram, acting in faith, obeyed. Now, before he left Ur, Abram no doubt told his family what he was doing. And you can imagine that family conference. Everyone gathers, and Abraham stands up. He says, "I just wanted to tell you that we're moving, and I want you to come with me." And they say, "Well, why are you moving? Where are you going?" He says, "Well, I'm moving because God called me to, and I don't know where I'm going." And they think, okay, this is a crazy man here. You are going to leave the comforts of Ur. You're going to split up our family. That's not a good son or uncle or brother or whatever. That's not acting as a good family member. You're going to take Sarai with you. You don't even know what's going to happen in the future. She could be kidnapped and taken. You're going on some ridiculous journey. Are you crazy? Abram no doubt received opposition from his family, pressure from his family to not go. And sometimes your family or those closest to you are the ones who are the biggest obstacles to your faith, the ones who are making the journey of faith the hardest. You're going to break up the family. Why do you have to take all this Christian stuff so seriously? We're getting together. Our family's getting together all day on Sunday, and Grandma's going to be there. Do you really have to go to church? And they lay pressure on you, and they guilt you. You're being a bad son or daughter or grandson. And so they pressure you to compromise. Don't follow God's call. Stay with us. Sometimes it's your closest friends who are the biggest obstacles to your faith, who are making it hard to serve God wholeheartedly, and they pressure you to compromise your faith. Or maybe it's a girlfriend or a boyfriend that's pressuring you. Abram no doubt faced those pressures. No doubt ridiculed as a wacko, believing in God, believing that God called him to do something. But yet by faith, he obeyed. There were a few in his family that went with him, though. Terah, his father, Lot, his nephew, and Sarai, his wife. It becomes clear that these three may not have wanted to go willingly with him. But Lot's father had died, and so maybe Abram was his guardian of some sort. Sarai was his wife, so she didn't really have a choice. She had to go along with her husband. And Terah, maybe Abram was responsible for watching out for his elderly father. Whatever the circumstances are, we find that it becomes clear that these three are not also on a journey of faith. They're just following Abraham at this point. But they all set out. And at some point, God revealed to Abram that they're to head to the land of Canaan. And so they headed northwest along the banks of the Euphrates River. It was a 600-mile journey from here to St. Louis. So with servants and animals and carriages, this would have been a long trip, months and months. And of course, they passed through various towns and cities along the way. And they eventually, 600 miles later, came to a city called Haran. And they settled there. God told them to go to Canaan, but here they settled in Haran. And we aren't told how long they stayed there, but it must have been some years because during that time they acquired a lot of wealth there in Haran. There must have been a pretty lucrative business opportunity that they saw there in Haran, and they stuck around for years. And Abram became a rich man. And life became comfortable again in Haran. It's nice not having to get back on a donkey or to ride in a cart or a wagon or to walk for so long. It's nice to have some security. I can go home. I have a place to put my hat or my turban or whatever they did in those days. It's nice to not be on the road. We're close to Canaan. We obeyed God. This is a good spot to settle down. Reality was that Abram had lost his way. He stopped following God. You know, sometimes in this journey of faith, it's our temptation to only go part way, to only follow God half-heartedly. And when it's really hard, when you're pressured, when you feel the pressure of your family and friends, or it's just inconvenient to stop what you're doing or to stop. It's just inconvenient to keep going in this following of God. When God clearly tells you to do one thing, but you stop halfway because it's easier. Are these things that you see in your life? Have you stopped short of following God? Do you compromise? Yeah, you may sound a bit like a Christian, but do you really wholeheartedly follow him? A primary reason why Abram settled in Ur is because of his father Terah. Terah pressured him, it appears, to stay in Haran. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen, before he was stoned to death, he recounted the story of Abram and Terah, and he said that they settled in Haran until his father died. Apparently his father was the one pressuring him to stay in the comforts and luxury of Haran. But when he died, Abram continued on. When we hear that Haran died, you may think of a physical death. But when you look at the numbers, it's obvious that Stephen isn't speaking about a physical death, but rather he's talking about a more spiritual death. We're told that Terah was 70 years old when Abram was born, and we're told that Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. That would make Terah 145 years old by the time Abram left Haran. But yet we're told that Terah died at the age 205. Abram didn't leave Haran after his father died physically. Instead, he left Haran after he woke up to the fact that his father was dead spiritually. He wasn't on the journey of faith. He wasn't seeking after God. He was on a journey to find a more comfortable place to live. Eventually, Abram realized what was happening here, that his father was not on a journey of faith. He had to separate himself from his father, as one commentator says, treating him as though he were dead. Sometimes this journey of faith requires you to put some space between you and a family member, or a friend, or a girlfriend, or a boyfriend who drags you down, who isn't on the same journey of faith, or isn't taking it as seriously. I have a young friend who's a new Christian, and I believe he is sincere in his faith, but he has an uncle that he visits semi-regularly, and he keeps dragging him down. And he's not going to progress in the faith until he puts some distance between him and his uncle. There's someone in your life who's hindering you, who's obstructing you in your journey of faith. Someone you need to distance yourself from. So leaving his father there in Haran, Abram left along with Lot and Sarai, along with his entourage of people and animals, hundreds of people, really. And he continued on this journey of faith. He traveled southwest another 400 miles, so another long journey, months and months, and he came to Shechem, a city in northern Canaan. He arrived in Canaan. By faith, Abram obeyed God. The second expression of his faith is that Abram worshipped God. When Abram arrived in Shechem, God appeared to him there and he said, "To your offspring, I'm going to give this land." And so Abram built an altar there to the Lord and he worshipped God. And he continued on south from there and he came to Bethel and Ai. And it says there he built another altar and he called upon the name of the Lord. And then he continued on from there and kept going toward the Negev, which is a desert region to the south, likely building another altar there, worshipping God. He's building altars all around this land. What Abraham's doing here is he's going throughout this promised land and he's claiming it for God and proclaiming that God has promised this land to him and his descendants. You see, the people of Canaan, they were pagans. They worshipped idols. They sacrificed their children on bronze altars. They were wicked. But yet, in the midst of this wicked culture, Abram, with hundreds of people with him, went throughout the land, worshipping God. And as he traveled, it says that he built altars and he called on the name of the Lord. It's interesting that Martin Luther translates this phrase as he proclaimed or preached the name of the Lord. This is a very public event. It's not a quiet, personal worship, but it's a bold proclamation that this is God's land. You Canaanites, you think you own this land. You do whatever you want in it, but it really belongs to God. And he's promised it to me and my people. And you need to serve this God. Abraham worshipped because he believed in the promise that this land would eventually belong to him and his descendants. His faith was expressed through worship. Real faith is not only expressed through obedience, but it's expressed through worship. Declaring that God rules this land. and that he's given this land to us. Canaan is a small piece of land in the Middle East. It's present-day Israel right now. A lot of fighting going on over there. But we find out in Romans 4 that what God promises to Abram and to Abraham's descendants, it wasn't just that little strip of land in the Middle East. But rather, that little strip of land was symbolic of being promised the whole world. In Romans 4, Paul sets Abraham up as the father of the faith, and he says that the promise that was made to Abraham and to his offspring is that he would be heir of the world. Not just Canaan, but the world. This whole world is the land of Canaan. The world belongs to God. He's promised it to us who walk by faith. Descendants, spiritual descendants of Abraham. You know, we live in a land that is filled with people who bow to their own gods. Sports, money, sex, popularity, beauty, knowledge, family, empty spiritual ritual. And the way that we declare that this is God's land is by worshiping Him. By symbolically setting up altars around this land, proclaiming that this is God's land and He's promised it to us. If you walk by faith, following God, you need to understand that this faith is not just a personal faith that you try to keep quiet to yourself, but rather this is a public proclamation that Jesus Christ is King over this world, and this land is His, and He's promised it to us. So as we worship God publicly and privately, we're declaring the kingship of Jesus Christ. He reigns. And we reign with Him as children of Abraham by faith. Is your faith expressed through obedience and worship? Whatever He calls you to, whether it's in your personal life, your family life, your community, where you work, where you live, He calls you to a journey of faith, believing that that He is with you wherever you go. And this faith is expressed through obedience and worship. Does your faith exhibit itself this way? So God calls us to a journey of faith which leads to a life of great blessing. And that's the last part. It's a life of great blessing. When God called Abram to leave Ur, to embark on this journey of faith, He promised him great, great blessing. And He promised the land, but at the beginning of chapter 12, He promises two things. The first is the promise of what, and the second is the promise of how. What He'll bless him with, and how He'll bless him with it. Verse 2 says that, "I will make you a great nation." Abraham will be a great nation. That's what God promises. And as we'll later see, we'll see that Abram has a son, Isaac, just one. He does have two sons, but one promised son. His son has Jacob. Jacob has 12 sons who become the nation of Israel. And by the time they leave Egypt, they're about 2 million people, and they become this great nation. And that promise is, you think, fulfilled there. Abram has lots of biological descendants, but that's not really what this promise is talking about. This promise is talking about his spiritual descendants. Galatians 3:29 says, "If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, you're his offspring, and heirs according to the promise." The promise of this world is yours by faith through Jesus Christ. You become a descendant of Abraham. The true children of Abraham are not Jews, biological Jews, but it's all who cling to the name of Christ. And we are like the number of the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. From the very beginning, God set His sights not on one person, not on one nation, but on the whole world, calling people from every tribe, every nation, every language. That was the promise to Abraham from the very beginning. If you believe in Christ, then the promise of Abraham is yours. You are heirs of this world. You have a righteousness by faith, and God is your friend. and this kingdom will have no end. Are you a child of Abraham through faith in Jesus Christ? That's the whole point of why you're going through this journey through this world. So that you learn to put your faith and anchor your life not in your circumstances, but rather in the God who saved you and loved you and called you. That He would be your strong fortress and your comfortable home. He's with you. This world is ours. Therefore, you never have to feel uncomfortable in a world that belongs to you. Never have to feel uncomfortable when God is with you. Be anchored in Christ by faith. The second of this part of this promise is how. How will He make Abram into a great nation? And He says this, "In you all the families of the earth will be blessed." This promise is repeated a number of times, and one time it's repeated in Acts 3. Peter explains what this promise is about. And he says that through Jesus, who is Abram's descendant, biological descendant, God would bless people from all nations with the gift of salvation by adopting them into the family of Abraham. God promised that He would make a great nation out of them. A great kingdom of people who would be saved from their sins. And He does that by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to be their Savior. We all come from different ethnic backgrounds, from all around the world, but we're called together into one family, one church, because we have one ancestor, Abraham, the father of the faith, and one Savior, Jesus Christ. Through Him we are made righteous and we become heirs of the world. If God's called you to this journey of faith, He's promised you a life of blessing and to be a blessing to others so that this family grows more and more and more. Trust in Jesus and He leads you through this journey of faith to a life of great blessing. So comfort, security, stability, belonging, all this that you experience in this life can be lost the next moment, the next day. There could be a big change on your horizon that you don't know about. And the reason why God keeps things changing in our lives is so that we learn to find our security and stability in Him by faith. And with Him as your rock, with Him with you, it doesn't matter your situation or whether you've gone away to college or you've started a new job or you're going to move halfway across the world. Wherever God calls you, you are secure and you belong and you're stable because He is with you. And He is there to bless you. Take that approach in your life. The great missionary Adoniram Judson had a very interesting proposal to his wife, to the woman who would be his wife. He wrote a letter to her dad explaining his plan for her. And this is what he wrote. "I have now to ask whether you can consent to part with your daughter early next spring and to see her no more in this world. Whether you can consent to see her departure to a heathen land and her subjection to the hardships and sufferings of a missionary life. Whether you can consent to her exposure to the dangers of the ocean, to the fatal influence of the southern climate of India, to every kind of want and distress, to degradation, insult, persecution, and perhaps a violent death. Can you consent to all this for the sake of perishing immortal souls? For the sake of Zion and the glory of God? Can you consent to all this in hope of soon meeting your daughter in the world of glory, with a crown of righteousness brightened by the acclamations of praise which shall redound from her Savior, or redound to her Savior from heathens, saved through her means from eternal woe and despair?" You can only write a letter like this and you can only make plans like this if you know that your security and your belonging is in God. Her father gave the letter to her and he let her make the decision, and she said yes, and she left with Adoniram a few weeks after that, after they were married. And they went to India and Burma, and she died 14 years later serving God in that field. They traveled on this uncomfortable, dangerous journey of faith because they were anchored to the rock of Jesus Christ. God has you on your journey of faith so that you learn to anchor your life in Jesus Christ and to serve Him and to serve Him alone. Anchor your life to Jesus by faith and proclaim to this world that He is God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for calling Abram to be Yours. For transforming the human race, beginning with one man. And we thank You for the promise of the seed of Abraham, who would be a blessing to all families, who would be a blessing to us, because through him we are grafted into this family tree of faith through Jesus Christ. Let us live by faith, obeying and worshiping You wherever You send us, knowing that our lives are anchored in You. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.